this has been going on for the last almost 40 years since 1978.
More reports surface of atrocities against Myanmar's Rohingya. It's Wednesday, February 8th. This is VOA Asia. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Join us right now for more of our program on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, a Chinese billionaire is missing. Some Asian immigrants find trouble and help in the United States. Asian trade and U.S. farmers treating Asia's health crisis. Stay with us. VOA Asia starts now. The United States on Monday said it was deeply troubled by last week's UN report detailing alleged atrocities committed by soldiers in Myanmar's rest of western state of Rakhine against minority Muslim Rohingya. Washington urged the government of Myanmar, also known as Burma, to take its findings seriously and redouble efforts to protect the local population. The UN report accused security forces of carrying out mass killings and gang rapes, as well as burning villages in a four-month campaign against militants it said very likely amounted to crimes against humanity and ethnic cleansing. A state commission charged with investigating the allegations dismissed criticism it is not credible, saying it is focused on finding the truth, not pleasing the international community. Burmese democracy activist Maung Zarni, a non-resident fellow at the Cambodia Genocide Documentation Center, tells VOA's Victor Beatty the UN allegations are nothing new.
This has been going on for the last almost 40 years since 1978, and the Rohingya population has been halved through the periodic waves of terror campaigns that are driving them out of the country, making life on Earth completely unbearable so that they will run away. And we have to take this report in the larger historical context of persecution that is going on for 40 years. That is the most troubling thing. And international community, particularly the United Nations, you know, ought to take this report seriously, not just the Burmese military or Aung San Suu Kyi.
The Myanmar government said the allegations in the report will be investigated by its own commission, headed by Vice President U Myint Swe, a former general.
Absolutely no credible. You know, I know like Vice President Myint Swe personally. He was the head of military intelligence, and the military intelligence ran all the Rohingya terror campaigns when he was the head of military intelligence. It's now time for international inquiry, referral to the International Criminal Court or discussion at the United Nations Security Council.
Maung Zarni, the new Trump administration has not made any pronouncements yet on Myanmar policy. What should the new U.S. administration do?
The U.S. government should have a very strong pro-human rights, anti-crimes against humanity policy with respect to Burma. U.S. governments have been very good on Burma, on human rights, and have been a major positive force in pushing the human rights agenda forward. And I just hope that the Trump administration will not allow the human rights issue to backslide majorly.
Tens of thousands of Rohingya have fled to neighboring Bangladesh, which has proposed relocating them to a remote island in the Bay of Bengal. These are among the top Asia stories that are trending on VOAnews.com. Deadly suicide blast hits near Kabul Supreme Court. India's Modi calls currency ban right move at right time. Rohingya rights groups resist Bangladesh refugee relocation plan. China's first large homemade passenger jet to fly in 2017. Faced with blackouts, Pakistan's largest public park goes solar. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and more on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the VOAnews.com website. VOA Asia continues. In late January, Chinese billionaire businessman Chao Jinhua went missing from the Hong Kong Four Seasons Resort. He was reportedly abducted and taken to mainland China. The case has many people in Hong Kong wondering if the details have any similarities to five booksellers who previously went missing. VOA Asia's Steve Miller speaks with VOA Mandarin Service reporter Mo Yu to learn more about Chow's disappearance.
For those not keeping abreast of events in Hong Kong, could you please fill in our listeners on who is Xiao Jianhua and what has happened?
All right. Xiao Jianhua, he is a Chinese billionaire. Well, in the past few years, he spent most of his time in Hong Kong and staying in Hong Kong's Four Seasons Resort. And he also holds Canadian citizenship. And for his business, he has a huge investment empire, which is called Tomorrow Holdings Group. And this company indirectly and directly controls dozens of Chinese listed companies, banks, and other financial institutions. And on the other hand, he also has very close ties with Chinese top leaders and their relatives, helping them deal with business-related affairs.
So he's a big-time businessman in China. Why is he in the news?
Because he disappeared from his Four Seasons resort. But there's something that has been confirmed from the Hong Kong police that he actually crossed the border to the mainland. But he never appeared to say his whereabouts. Neither Beijing nor Hong Kong government has ever commented on his case. So this appearance actually harkens back to an earlier case of five booksellers. They actually disappeared last year, and later they turned up in mainland China in custody by the Chinese police. So there's some similarities between these two cases, which heightens some concerns over Hong Kong's autonomy and the rule of law, and Beijing's heavy-handed interference with Hong Kong's judicial independence.
Mo Yu, what are people saying? What are people speculating as to why Xiao Jianhua was taken to the mainland?
Right now, there are roughly two kind of theories about his disappearance. One theory is that he is the target of Chinese leader Xi Jinping's anti-corruption campaign because he has so many close ties with top leaders. So some people say he may know a lot of like some dirty dealings that these top officials have done in the past. So he might be the legitimate target of Xi's campaign. But there are some other critics say that Xi's campaign is mainly for eliminating his opponents. So if Xiao, he knows much about like Xi's opponents' dirty dealings, he might be a perfect target or perfect weapon for Xi's campaign. And the other theory is that Xiao, actually, he was involved in the stock market turmoil in 2015 because the Chinese government, and they blame that stock problem on some stock market manipulators, and Xiao was one of the big figure in that manipulating thing. There are some reports saying that that Xiao Jianhua was taken away by the Chinese government agents for the assistance with the investigation of that case.
Mo Yu is from our Mandarin service here in Washington. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Steve.
Happening now in Asia, Australia and China pledged to deepen ties on trade, tourism, and more. China's foreign minister called a free trade agreement with Australia a firm stand against protectionism. Australia says it also wants a stronger U.S. trade relationship. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happy you're with us today on VOA Asia. Some Asians coming to the United States seeking a better life don't find it at first. Exploitation and trafficking of new arrivals is an issue in places like California. VOA Indonesian correspondent Dania Aman is here to tell us about a person in San Francisco who helps immigrants in bad situations.
I found this lady. Her name is Hediana Utarti. She lives in San Francisco, California. She is the community projects coordinator for this organization called the San Francisco Asian Women's Shelter, which focused on helping the human trafficking victims, especially in the language access.
I would call it a small team of very cool people that really work hard to support our Indonesian diaspora members.
So they started in the 80s. At first, they only have three language access, especially for the crisis lines, because lots of immigrants who work in the United States and they need help and they call, but sometimes they don't speak English very well. That's why they need someone who speaks the same language. Then there's this Asian women's shelter. And now they have more than three languages, of course, maybe around 20s or more,
okay,
including Indonesia. You know, they don't get paid well, and then they're not treated well, and then they don't know where to go without any language access.
So these are more people who come here being exploited economically, primarily?
Yes.
Okay, so they get a job and maybe they're not paid or they're really underpaid or,
yeah,
or bad working conditions.
Yes. Hediana Utarti, she mentioned what they need most.
Safe housing, a place that is safe for them, food for sure, clothing that is appropriate for San Francisco because it's always cold here and windy, and now it's always raining, and then language support for sure, and then legal support. Find attorney as soon as you can.
She also asked the government to get legal help for them.
The U.S. federal government provides 8 months of benefit for survivors of human trafficking. It includes cash aid, a couple hundred dollars, and then food stamps and Medi-Cal for 8 months. Usually, we are able to access that once they receive a T visa or a U visa. However, in California, California provides another 8 months extra that usually we access before they obtain the T visa. So while waiting for the T visa, we go to the California Department of Human Services and ask for that 8 months California benefit, which is the same thing of cash aid, food stamps, and Medi-Cal. The Medi-Cal comes from California health insurance.
It's mainly focused on women and children, but there are lots of men out there who also needs help.
Danya Iman from our VOA Indonesian service. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jim.
News is mobile and so are you. Get VOA on the go. Get VOA on Google Currents. Get VOA News specifically made for your tablet and smartphone. Clean, simple, fast. Now available for Android or Apple phones or tablets. Download the Google Currents app for free today. Get VOA on Google Currents at voanews.com/currents.
This news alert from VOA Asia. A Japanese restaurant owner, his wife, and an employee were charged in Cambodia for overseeing a smuggling ring that forced women into sex work in Japan, a longtime destination for Southeast Asian women seeking higher wages, but often find themselves forced into sex work or indentured labor. All the big stories are found each day on VOA Asia Facebook. VOA Asia continues. Trade agreements and jobs were two big issues on the minds of farmers and manufacturing workers during the 2016 presidential campaign. 2 weeks into President Donald Trump's term has provided some insight into his plans to fulfill campaign promises that appealed to those voters who helped him win the White House. VOA's Kane Faribault has more from rural Illinois, where Asian trade and American farming intersect.
American farmers like Wendell Shaman backed the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade agreement during the 2016 presidential campaign.
When trade works, the world wins.
But one of President Trump's first moves after taking office was to withdraw the U.S. from the TPP, making good on a campaign promise.
Anytime you back out on a trade deal, it's not a precedent I like to see sell.
The result? A loss of new markets and price increases for U.S. farm products like corn and soybeans.
We would have gained tremendous access to Japan's beef and pork markets through this agreement. And I think we were looking at between 10 and 35 cents a bushel on corn, the impact of TPP once it was signed and implemented.
While that means a direct hit on Wendell Shaman's pocketbook, he is not disappointed.
you're a farmer, you have a PhD, you're well-traveled, mm-hmm. you understand how trade agreements and international trade works, and you voted for Trump.
Yes.
Shaman says his support for Trump went beyond profits.
We're conservative people. We think government's too big. We've got too many regulations. We could only see more of them coming from Hillary. We could see a more liberal Supreme Court, which is already giving us trouble. A lot of rules and regulations that we fight end up going to the Supreme Court.
Not far from Shaman's farm is the former site of the Maytag appliance factory. George Carney worked there for more than two decades until the factory moved to Mexico and his job disappeared. Carney blames the North American Free Trade Agreement, also known as NAFTA. He struggled to find steady work since and was strongly opposed to the TPP.
Just the bad experience of the NAFTA left a bad taste in my mouth, so I was against it just because of being a trade agreement.
But Trump's opposition to TPP was not enough to gain Carney's vote in November.
He comes off like a babbling buffoon, but I think he's doing his job right. I like what he's doing.
Which is why Carney, who has never voted for a Republican for president before, is looking ahead to the next election.
I could see myself vote for Trump next time.
Although Wendell Shaman is on the opposite side of Trump regarding TPP, he too says he could vote for Trump again, depending on how he handles any changes to the NAFTA agreement and how he continues to conduct himself while president.
You know, yeah, sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes it's embarrassing. I literally said, why don't you just grow up? But he's the president. We're going to live with him for 4 years. We'll see where this ride goes.
Kane Faribault, VOA News, Galesburg, Illinois.
Developing at this hour in Asia, Beijing has proposed further tightening the internet with the possible establishment of a new commission to vet internet services and hardware. The move concerns foreign business and rights groups as the government would first approve what could be bought online. This story and more is on Steve Miller's Asia in a Minute, found each day on VOA Asia Facebook. Now on VOA Asia, Asia is facing a growing burden in treatment costs because of rising numbers of patients diagnosed with cancer, as well as those suffering from stroke and dementia over the next decade. While Asia's economic progress has led to sharply lower levels of poverty, it's resulted in social and lifestyle changes ranging from diets to increasing urban pollution. Those extract an increasing toll on communities. The World Health Organization says in Southeast Asia, late treatment of cancer results in 1.3 million deaths a year. In 2015, global spending on cancer drugs rose by 11.5% to $107 billion. It's forecast to rise to $150 billion by 2020. That's largely to the expense of newer and more specialized drugs. China reported 4 million new cancer cases in 2016, and the national health bill is set to soar fourfold by 2025. Gregory Winter is a Cambridge University professor leading a research team in antibody engineering and modification technology for the treatment of degenerative diseases and several types of cancer. He says while scientific progress has been made, treatment costs remain prohibitive for most populations.
The challenges are much more in costs than they are in feasibility. I mean, I'm not saying everything's possible, but I think that in rolling it out to the populations in general, we will be struggling with cost problems. The costs of an antibody treatment can be in the order of $15,000 to perhaps $75,000 per year, and that's a lot for anybody.
In China, reports say cancer patients and family caregivers faced with the high cost of approved drugs lead them to seek out generic drugs on the gray market to save costs. But the drugs may also be ineffective or fake. Winter says delays in China's drug approval process has sometimes led to drugs coming onto the Chinese market up to 10 years after they've appeared in the U.S. market.
So my own view is they should consider having a different drug approval process that is not so onerous. And in return, this should enable costs to be brought down for launching drugs in those markets.
Canadian Vladimir Hashinsky, a leading global specialist in stroke and vascular dementia at the University of Western Ontario, says a growing bank of evidence links high rates of pollution, evident across Asia,
with strokes and dementia.
This is a global problem because as you probably know, there are currents between the continents, that there are these big currents up in the atmosphere that carry air from one continent to the other, and also within the continents. So what happens in Beijing matters in Bangkok, because the whole atmosphere is one, the biosphere.
Hachinsky says Asia has to confront the issues of pollution as it faces a significant rise in pollution-induced strokes as well as dementia in increasingly aging populations.
At the rate we're going, we cannot afford more patients having stroke, more patients having dementia. Yes, particularly Asia. I mean, 61% of the world population is in Asia. And in some countries like China, stroke is the leading cause of death. And in Japan, of course, the aging population, you have high rates of stroke and dementia.
Studies say smog leads to more than 1 million premature deaths in China each year, cutting life expectancy by 2 to 5 years. A recent report by the environmental group Greenpeace said as many as 1.2 million deaths occurred each year in India because of air pollution, just a fraction less than deaths from tobacco usage. VOA Asia is heard around the world on Facebook, on VOA Asia, and we also say hello to all of our listeners in Myanmar listening through VOA Burmese Facebook. Thank you so much for joining us. Our director is Tracy Carter, our engineer Jimmy Cook, managing editor Diane Gao, and our great VOA Asia team, Steve Miller, Ali Ogden, Eli Zimmerman. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We hope you have a super day ahead.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States is working closely with Nigeria to improve efficiencies in the vital oil sector. The U.S. Commercial Service Nigeria sponsored a single company promotion event in Lagos on January 26th that focused on strengthening the skills of process operators working in Nigeria's refinery and chemical industry, said United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, Mission Director Michelle Godet. The event launched a new training simulation solution by New Jersey-based Simulation Solutions Incorporated. Simulation Solutions is a leading provider of PC-based dynamic simulation training programs for process operators in the refinery and chemical industries, as well as for government and academia. The company's INSTO 5-step process technology operator training for professionals has been used by downstream oil firms all over the world to improve plant efficiency. U.S. Consul General John Bray said in his opening remarks that for Nigeria to overcome its current economic challenges, it must find ways to diversify its economy while improving firm-level productivity. He encouraged participants to actively engage with Simulation Solutions to improve their organization's bottom-line profitability. Over 60 representatives from across Nigeria's petrochemical sector, including officers from Nigeria's National Oil Company, regulatory agencies, as well as professionals drawn from private refineries, training institutes, and academia, learned how companies can effectively operate their plants without accidents and downtime, saving costs and improving profitability. U.S. Commercial Service Counselor Brent Omdahl anchored the event. Audience participants expressed keen interest in establishing a partnership with Simulation Solutions and in adapting the simulator training program to their individual operations. Academic speakers encouraged a gradual introduction of the training program into technical and executive skills curricula. In the coming months, the U.S. Commercial Service in Nigeria will continue to support Simulation Solutions and its Nigeria partners as they roll out training programs at interested organizations across the country. The United States is proud to work with its partner Nigeria to promote trade that benefits the U.S., Nigeria, and the world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.